Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Irain Blog Talk Radio Show with your host and creator, Minister Annie Bell, the founder and executive director of Wealth Management Ministries Incorporated. We are providing talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. Please enjoy the show.
Well, hello again, everybody. Good evening. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. Thank you again for joining us tonight. I am Minister Annie Bell, the host and creator of Irain Blog Talk Radio Show, which is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries Incorporated. We are endeavoring to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as providing awareness, prevention, and resources to the community. Tonight, we have a special guest, and I'm going to talk about sex trafficking more in depth. And I want to, of course, give you a little bit of statistics behind it so that you can understand why there are so many people who are trying to rally and fight against this horrific crime. Now, sex trafficking is a $1 billion, that's with the B as in boy, $1 billion per year industry that sells sex to the perverted by enslaving vulnerable boys, girls, and ladies. And I did say boys, okay, because boys are victims too in this situation. In a study done by the Urban Institute and funded by the Justice Department, the sex trade brings in an estimate of $290 million per year in just seven of the major cities that it is hitting, just seven of our major cities. So you can imagine how much money is being made and why the pimps and the guerrilla pimps and sex traffickers are just really trying to do this business. In Atlanta is on its way to becoming the number one hub for sex trafficking in the world, not just here in the United States. So this is a major crisis. We are not talking about a grown woman or a man who decides that they want to go into prostitution and sell their body for money, but we're actually talking about those who are being held against their will. So that is the difference between the two. Yes, sex is being sold, but in one occasion, it's the person is being held against their will, and whereas the other, a lot of the prostitution, those who go into it on their own and stay in it on their own, then that's a different can of worms or can of beans. So now we have to find ways to protect our vulnerable population from this heinous crime. And each person out here, we are empowered to do something about it, whether it is learning more about it, becoming an advocate, speaking against it. Everybody plays a role, whether you're going to open up a transitional facility for them or whatever have you. Everybody can play a part in making sure that this doesn't continue. Now, in March, we will have a guest who was indoctrinated starting at the age of two into the sex trafficking industry, by her mother and her father. By the time she was 9 years old, she was sold to executives, men at bachelor parties, and neighborhood pervs. This was happening in suburbia. They were not living in some low-income area. They were, in suburban areas. So that lets us know that this industry knows no boundaries. Every demographic is being infiltrated. So don't rest on your laurels thinking it can't happen to you or your children. We have to take action now. As I said, Today, my guest is Sharon Brown, the founder of Treasure Box International. She is also a certified counselor, public advocate, international platform speaker, and a mentor. She has earned many accolades for the work that she has done in not just here in Atlanta, but she speaks across the nation and internationally. So I am really excited for her to be on the show today and that she would even do our little show that we have. So I would like to welcome Sharon Brown to the studio. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours, truly. So thank you for making the time. I know you're out and about already, you know, doing some other things, and that you carved out some time for our show, so I'm greatly, greatly humbled by it. Let's go ahead and get started, because I always run out of time, and I want to be good today and not go over my time, so I want to go ahead and get started. I want the listeners to get to know the person, Sharon Brown, first, and then we want to get to know you as the advocate and the activist as well. So my first question is, why are you involved with sex trafficking and exploitation?
Well, I originally got started because I was an elected delegate for the Democratic Party. And so when I began to get involved in the community and start to realize where my passion and where I was connected, I began to see myself, and, you know, I began to lobby and become an activist for many different topics. And once I began to see that sex trafficking, I could identify on a personal level, and I had no idea that this was something that I was even connected to. But when I started hearing that this was something that was connected to abuse and with young kids and stuff like that, I began to understand that this may be something that I would be interested in. And so I began to start digging, and I began to take a few classes, and I connected with several organizations, and one was Youth Sparks. And once I took that first class and began to get some understanding and some foundation about what this whole war is that we were talking about, what is this rumor about sex trafficking, I cried through the whole entire class. I kept getting up, going to get tissue, and I kept hearing about me. I heard my story. And so I didn't think that I could identify with this, but I realized that I, too, was trafficked. And so I thought it was amazing how you never know how God would connect you to different things to get you to find your voice. And I completely lost my voice over the years. I did really well in many things, but I did not know that even though I was successful in business and several other areas, I still did not have my voice. And so once I began to walk in my truth in it, I began to see myself.
Wow. And that's and when you say you begin to see yourself, as reading some of your life story, I know that you also have been molested as a child, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us what age it was and by whom who molested you?
Well, my journey started when I was about I kind of narrowed it down to about 5. I had this war is one that we always think that it is the men that are always the predators. And in my case, most of the people that ended up violating me or exploiting me were women. And so the first person was my babysitter at about the age of 5. My mom worked 2 jobs, and this lady that used to keep me, she was a Caucasian lady. And, you know, most of the time we think that, you know, we can trust women because women, you know, are the nurturers. They are not going to do anything. And all I can remember is some of the inappropriate touch, some of the things that took place when I was there, but I did not know how to articulate it. I did not know how to verbally express it. So at a very young age, I would act out sometimes, and I did not know, so I may end up getting in trouble for doing different things that I would do, but it was because those things was being done to me. And so I did
That's
not
right.
know how to say that somebody I trust, somebody I felt safe with, this person actually inappropriately touched me. And so that happened not one time, but several times throughout my teenage years and when I was a little younger. So people that I trusted, that
yes.
our family trusted, you know, and you don't think that these things would happen to you, especially when you take your children and you think that the people that's around you are, you know, the safest places. And so as I educate across the country, I find that a lot of times these predators are closer to us than we think that they are. And so
That's right.
I teach and educate about the seeds that are planted. The exploitation seeds are planted in our kids early before they are ever trafficked. So
yes.
we learn that when we're talking and teaching that 80% that are exploited as a child, they will be trafficked. So those seeds
yes.
are planted, and before you know it, I don't know how these predators can kind of see the stamp on our children or see the stamp on you to know that you are the one that they need to pick out of the crowd, and they
yes.
know what you need, and you know, and they just pray on those things that you're vulnerable with, you know, and so
that's right.
That's just the beginning, you know. And so that's how part of my journey started.
And, you know, as I reflect back to, because I had that same question, you know, what
sure.
makes others more vulnerable than the others? You know, why is one child picked out in a family gathering to be the one that gets molested? Or, you know, gets violated. And I believe two things. One is that the self-esteem issue in our children, we need to speak into our kids and build their esteem
Absolutely.
And build their value at a very young age. I mean, starting at, I believe, right out the womb, we need to instill that. Mothers, fathers, we need to let them know, because the victims, a lot of them are the shy ones, the quiet ones that keep to themselves or don't feel like they're worthy. And so the predators are able to pick that up. I also believe it's a spiritual fight. I believe that there is a perverted, unholy, filthy spirit that has been unleashed onto this world. And they can also see their own stamp, if you want to call it. And so
sure.
Part of that is the re-victimization or the multi-victimization that occurs after a person has been violated, because 89% of those who have been violated, especially as children, there is that high percentage of that same population who will be victimized. And which leads us into the other part of your life where you have been violated at the age of 18. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yes, I wanted to, if you don't mind, I would love to kind of piggyback off of that portion of what do victims look like and how the
yes.
predators are able to identify. Well, I want to bring just a little balance in that, because I was very active. I went to a performing arts school. I danced. I sing. We were very active, so I wasn't really shy at all.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't
mm-hmm.
a shy child. I was a very outgoing kind of person. However, I did have some issues, which one of the things that now I look at it as a birthmark. I was dyslexic, so there was some self-esteem issues for me, but it wasn't because, you know, I wasn't outward. I looked like I was very self-confident. I looked like I was
mm-hmm.
confident in myself, but because I was dyslexic and I struggled really a lot in school in the beginning, in my earlier years in elementary, and not having, and sometimes when girls and boys are missing thereof, whether it's the mother or the father, and although I had a stepfather that was a good balance for my life, and, you know, mm-hmm. God blessed him to take on another man's seed. But when you are a child and you're feeling that sense of rejection and you're feeling abandoned and you're going through all of those different emotions, you still have to put your face on. And a lot of these kids are having to take on adult attitudes and pull themselves together when they really don't
yes.
have the ability to do that. But we tell them to get yourself together. You know, your dad may not come, or, you know, and as if they're supposed to forget it and move on, where for me it was very difficult. So I was looking for those validations. I was looking
yes.
for that. And so I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, because you do have some kids that look like they're living normal lives, and they're not in, you know, the urban, you know, inner city area. And
that's right.
they have, you know, everything that they possibly could have, but still the predators are still there, and they
that's right.
tend to find those vulnerable. They tend to find those kids that are a little, I don't know, but it just seems as if they just know where to find those weak places. And I definitely believe that it's a sense of, you know, an attack from the demonic kingdom. You know, I feel like it's
yes.
definitely more spiritual than anything. Yes.
Yes.
I definitely believe that.
I
just wanted to throw that in there.
No. Please feel at liberty, because this is what the show is about. We want to make sure that we're getting giving information, and that we're being candid, because it's just too long that we have tried to dilute it, soften the blow. The blow is hard, okay? For those who are
right.
who've been victimized, the blow is hard, and it's meant, that attack was meant to kill us, amen? But thank
amen.
God that he has something else for us to do, that we survived it. And so it's not enough for us to be quiet. Now that we have our voice, let's speak loudly and let's speak clearly that this madness has to stop. Now, I do have to pause for station identification and some commercials. Give me 2 minutes, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Minister Annie Bell. Did you know that you can advertise your business, ministry, or product during my show? Expose your business to approximately 1.8 million sets of eyes and ears, because we are on the platform of Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. That's right. Yes, you can. We have some great rates and packages to meet just about any marketing budget. Give us a call at 678-342-6607 or look us up on www.wealthmngt.org, or even catch up with us on Facebook at iRain, Stop Abuse and Fight Back. Promote your business and help a wonderful cause. Now that's what I call a win-win.
You use Tide Pods?
Yeah.
But I thought you were the queen of the pre-treat soak, treat soak.
Those are fond memories, but those things are amazing. Once I saw what they did, I actually started to relax. Don't touch my things. Those little guys clean, brighten, and fight stains. So now I can focus on more pressing matters.
Like your container.
Isn't it beautiful?
Your sweet peppers aren't next to your hot peppers.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Hi, I am retired Chief Mass Sergeant McKinney Crawford out of Las Vegas, Nevada. You are listening to iRain Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell. Join her every Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Welcome back to iRain Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to iRain Blog Talk Radio Show. And that's me, Minister Annie Bell. Before we left for our break, we were talking to Sharon Brown, who is an advocate and an activist fighting out there on charge with against sex trafficking and the great work she's doing as a certified life coach. We are going to give you some information at the end of the show on how to get in touch with her and for bookings for just to speak or to even to do some life coaching with her. So everybody get their pen and paper ready. But before we left, we were talking about making sure that we have a voice and that we utilize our voice so that we can protect others. And Sharon, I think you were going to share with us what had happened when you were 18, another violation
sure.
had occurred.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was a freshman in college, and so during that time, I had already got in a state of mind, and mind you, I mentioned earlier that I talked about the exploitation seeds that had been already planted in me. So
yes.
I was open and almost kind of primed for victimization to continue to take place in my life. And so I began to lose my agent and lose who I was by that point. I really did not have a voice, and I did not know who I was. I many days repeatedly said, you know, if I just die today, it didn't even matter at that point, because I did not feel like I had any self-worth or any really at times I was very depressed. And I did not know how to say that to the people that loved me and that cared about me. And so I came home to visit my freshman year in college, and one of so-called friends, someone ended up setting me up. And so I went out on a date. A guy picked me up. It was a blind date, and he was a promising NFL player getting ready to graduate from a very well-known school here in the city that I'm from. And so we went out. We were supposed to go to a barbecue. I never ended up making it to a barbecue. Before I know it, going to his frat house, many different stops we ended up making, but I didn't know that this was all a setup. And so I was, he pulled out a 9mm and he stuck it in my side. And so, you know, but when he picked me up, I thought, oh, I got me a baller now, you know? So by this time, I'm thinking, like, this is my ticket, which is what some of the girls now, they're looking for that next baller or that next rapper to come and rescue them, and they think that that is what's going to lead them into their new life or, you know, or whatever. And we've painted these pictures that are not really real. And so at this point, I'm shocked because he pulls the gun out, he stuck it in my side, and he told me that, you know, basically to shut up. And he had already premeditated what he was going to do. He had the hotel already set, and he took me to the hotel, and he raped me at gunpoint. And at that point, I began to pray like never before, asking God to please don't let me die. If you just let me live, God, you just give me another chance, and just to make sure that, you know, I don't want to leave like this. You know, I just begin to remember repeatedly asking God, and I don't know, it was a personal attack against women, because some of the things I kept asking him, why are you doing this to me? And he just kept saying, it's women like you that, you know, make men, you know, want to do these kind of things. So he just kept making all these excuses why he was victimizing and why he was raping me at the time. And so I remember a click, but the gun didn't go off. And before I knew it, he ended up falling asleep, and I woke him up because he was still on top of me, and I asked him, can I just please go to the bathroom? So in my mind, I'm thinking, God, if you can get me out of this room. And so he let me get up, and I went to the bathroom. And so as I was going to the bathroom, I ran out of the door. And so with my clothes ripped and everything. And this is one of the things that I tell people, that we are responsible for what we see, what we hear. We can't just act like things don't happen around us, like we don't see these things happening. Because people did pass me in the hallway of the hotel. I'm a young woman, And I look like I've been victimized. I look like something had happened to me. And God had an angel at the front desk of that hotel. I had no purse. I had nothing. I ran out of the room. And the lady at the front desk, she said, "Baby, is there anything I can do to help you?" And I said, "I just need to use the phone." And at that time, my parents was out of town. And so I remember calling my cousin and asking him if he would just come and get me. I was in a state of shock. And I remember this predator driving by the front door of the hotel, throwing out my purse in the front of the doorway of the lobby and mouthing to me saying that I better not say anything. And I knew he knew where I lived and where my parents lived. And so I was in a state of shock. And so my parents came back in town, and they found me in the same place I was for that whole day waiting until they got back home. And they took me to the police station. And at that point, I'm so glad that we are, as you know, the legislators and the people that are that can make a difference in our laws, and voters that's getting out and register to vote, because your votes count, because these kind of laws and some laws need to be put in place so that we can fight these predators when they're raping victims and nothing has been happening. They're, you know, misplacing and not handling the rape kits, and nobody never even asked me how I felt. They just wanted to know the facts. And in knowing the facts, I never really got any counseling from that. And I almost felt like it was my fault because I wore a skirt that day. Well, because those are questions that they asked, like, what did you wear? What made him want to do that to you? Because you know he's going to the NFL. So I felt like no one other than my parents were the ones that were an advocate for me right then. But who knows what to do when your daughter has been victimized in that way, you know? At that point, not even 6 months later, I was recruited into the number one strip club in Atlanta. And so that's where I began to be trafficked. I was there were fraud. There, you know, it's clearly a definition that human trafficking is defined by. And so there has to be fraud, coercion, or I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. But there has to be a form of fraud. There has to be a form of coercion. And and so those are the things that I ended up being a victim of. So I was tricked. I was lied to. Then there has to be a sense of where someone has threatened you. And so I felt like what was told to me about the industry that I was about to get into, which my parents had no idea that I was. They worked, they tried to do the best they can to provide me an option or, you know, a way to go to school. But while I was a freshman in college, I was also dancing. And I felt a sense of, you know, they were like, you know, well, you've already taken your clothes off before. Surely this wouldn't be nothing. But I didn't know what was going to be on the other side of that door. I didn't know that would have to compromise and do things that I know that I was not taught this. But these are some of the things that the devil, the enemy, the predator in our children, that tries to rob them of their voices, that tries to, they know that. And so these were some of the same feelings that I felt that reminded me from when I was much, much younger. And so I had those days that, you know, I did not want to move forward. I did not want to live. I felt like there was no point in it. And I remember God kept telling me that I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your life, and you will be able, you will live, and you shall not die. I'm going to use you, and you will speak all over the world, and you will your life will cause people to be restored and healed, and restoration will come to those that are in need. And I will give you empathy for those that are lost. I will give you a heart to reach those that some churches won't even let them in the door. Those are the ones that I will reach for you to touch their heart. And when when they hear your story, they will hear that it could not have been nothing but the power of God that resurrected
your life.
And so I thank God for the village that God had brought into my life and began to speak life into me. And when my mother was at home, I had an auntie that was there with me and that knew what my life was like, and she spoke life into me. And, you know, God has sent a ram in a bush. No matter where you are, who you are, how bad you've made a mistake, how bad things you think it is and you can't return from it, you know, I know what that feels like. And God gave me hope. You know, he did that. He did that for
me. Thank you, Lord.
And I believe that there are listeners tonight that God will do the same thing for you. He will restore those things that the canker worms have taken from you by faith.
Yes.
And so
that's right.
You know, this is just how, you know, things begin to, you know, I've been that victim that has been locked in a basement and the guy had me there and wouldn't let me out. And my aunt came to look for me. I've been that victim that I was caught up in a relationship with somebody and they were manipulating and controlling and all of that stuff, you know, to me. And so I was looking for a sense of power. I wanted to be in control, but and that's what sometimes victims do. So let me just say that children are not prostitutes, and they are not prostitutes. And just because people are victimizing them and they may be doing adult things, they are still children. They are still humans. And so I just really come against that spirit that are trying to victimize our young people, whether they're boy, straight, black, white, Chinese, it doesn't matter. You know, we all need to begin to raise our voices and begin to give them a place of refuge, you know, get back to the basics, which is the love of Christ. Get back to the basics.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
And
I got
completely
carried away.
No, you are, this is your passion, and it's as well as it's my passion as well. So really, you've come to the right platform because you have that freedom and that liberty to speak. And, you know, one thing that I want everyone to hear out there, I hope it resonates in your spirit, is that there was a glimmer of hope. God gave her just a glimmer of hope. And in the Bible it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when there is hope, okay, it's joyous to us. And it gives us breath and energy for yet another day to keep going. So if you're out there, you're hearing us, whether you are being trafficked, whether you are being abused, violated, if you hear us, there is hope for you. God is your hope. And just hang on because your rescue is coming. Amen. I got to take another break.
Amen.
If everyone will just stay with us, put a bookmark right there. I'll be right back. Thank you so much again.
Hi, I'm Curtis Stone, and this is Bilo's Cooking with Curtis for under $10. This month, I've chosen tomatoes from Bilo's fantastic fresh produce. So come on, click here, and let's eat well for less.
Hi, my name's Asriel Bell, out of Atlanta, Georgia, and you are listening to Irene Block Talk Radio Show with my mom, host, Minister Annie Bell. You can catch her every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Welcome back to Irene Block Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Thank you for staying with us and sticking around. You can, of course, find me here every Thursday night at 8 p.m. We are one of the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show, that is, one of the many outreaches of Wealth Management Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Wealth Management Ministries are going into the communities teaching financial literacy and offering free life coaching and Christian counseling to the underserved communities. So look us up. And we may be coming to a town near you. I am here with Sharon Brown, and we were, again, talking about what is making her such a passionate advocate, such a passionate activist, because she has compassion. And in the Bible, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. A compassionate heart is what is so needed in this time so that we can reach out and help those who are being violated and molested and thrown aside as if they don't matter. Sharon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I wanted to now go into the sex trafficking and exploitation. What is the difference for our listeners? What's the difference between the two, sex trafficking and exploitation?
Well, the difference is, and I'm glad that you asked that question, because a lot of times many people tend to get the two confused. They tend to think that exploitation is the same thing as trafficking. So just a little bit, the trafficking is when one is being recruited, harboring, or transported and brought into a place for the purpose of commercial sex act. And so,
yes,
and there's going to be money involved, and there's a money transaction that would be taking place. When one is being exploited is for sexual abuse of children, whether it's they, and I'm going to give you my version. My version is pretty much when you see it, when a predator see a child and they know that the need is they're hungry or the child needs,
yes,
shelter, protection, they manipulate, they control, they try to exchange those things for sex. And so they groom the children or they groom the person to begin to get them to a point where they can eventually get them to exploit them for monetary gain. So if
that's
they do that, then that's why, you know, the facts show that 80% of our victims that are trafficked, they were exploited at some point. So if you get used to somebody manipulating, controlling, and when we look at several years ago, the state of, you know, just Georgia alone, there's many other states, California, New York, Texas, Florida, but Georgia,
yes,
was ranked number 7 several years ago, that these kids were registered in our public school system. So they mean they went to school every day, and that was their 2 hot meals that they would get. And so they would go to school, and that means that they're registered. So these kids are sitting in our classroom, but they're homeless. So what happens when school is over? In some of our counties, these kids are creeping back into the schools just to have a place to sleep. Now,
yes,
that is ridiculous. We live in a free country. We live in a
That's right.
That we have all these different resources and everything. Why is our children homeless? So that is
That's right.
Huge problem. That's why we are in an election year, an election time. We need to get out and register to vote so we can make some difference in some of these things and make sure that you are active in your local community so that you can hear what it is going on locally so that you can make a difference. So that is just one of the issues, that some of our kids are out here on the street.
That's right. That is right. And, you know, We're thinking that we're not in a third world country, and so this whole sex trafficking thing is something that is that's kind of going over people's heads as if it's not really happening here, but it is happening here. Here in Atlanta, and you already know this, but this is for the others who are listening, here in Atlanta, people are getting snatched from suburban areas or even in the countryside, snatched straight out of the street, taken into the heart of Atlanta, shot up with drugs, and then thrown right into the streets to sell sex. They don't even know where they are. They're thinking that they are, you know, hundreds of miles away from home when they're 20, 30, 40 minutes from home. There are sex trafficking rings that actually go into the farming areas, South Carolina, Georgia. And what they do is they take 2 or 3 sex trafficking victims, and they have to go and service 80 to 100 immigrant farm workers, and some of these immigrant farm workers, they have a lot of pent-up energy and anxiety, and they tend to take it out on these girls who are being sex trafficked. So they are being beaten and still have to service 20 to 40 men each. And then after they're done, they're brought back into the heart of Atlanta to continue selling sex. It is horrible. It's horrifying. It's a heinous, heinous crime against our kids. These are children. I mean, it's bad enough that it's happening to grown folk, but for it to happen to our children is beyond me. How does a child then become a victim? I know I talked a little bit about it, but I wanted to hear your point as well, Sharon.
In many ways, children are definitely a target for human trafficking. Like I said, sometimes it's because of defamation, it's because of food, it's because they have found themselves at some point addicted to drugs, it's because they have been exploited in many cases. It's for many different reasons. It's also because, you know, and also I will say that a lot of times I talk about this a lot, I educate about it a lot. We have a lot of our kids today, we have a new pimp today. So it's not, you know, the pimp that's riding around in a pink Cadillac with the, you know, with the hat tilted to the side, picking our children up from the, you know, from the bus stop. No.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think that, then we definitely need to wake up, because it's not happening like that. Today we have the new pimp, and his name may be Rico, his name may be Samantha, his name may be anything. His name may be the one that's sitting next to you. This whole arena of sex trafficking, it touches everything, every person that we love, the people that we care about. It touches the places we go. It's all over. This is a $1 billion industry. So along with guns, and firearms and drugs, illegal activities, sex trafficking and human trafficking is ranked number 3 in our country. So that's more money than McDonald's make. So
the meat
of the issue for me right here is the fact. It's the truth. So the meat of the problem right now, I feel, is that our kids are exploiting each other now.
Yes.
That's a huge problem. So they don't have to wait
because they know no better
to come looking for them.
Yes. You know, they're being groomed.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that they don't have to necessarily wait on Rico the pimp. There's new pimps today. And because when you get to the point where you're working 2 and 3 jobs and you're doing the best that you can because they – you know, I know I'm throwing these political plugs in here because I'm an advocate, I'm a lobbyist. But when you are not raising the minimum wage and women and our parents have to work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet and leave our kids with different people and they doing the best they can, these are sometimes what happens. Our children now are having twerk parties. You know, they're having parties. And so I asked some of these young girls, so this is nothing – no different than you being at the strip club, but you're just 12. And they say, Ms. Sharon, this is what we do, how we want to make money, you know. And so we charge at the door to get into the house. And then once they come in, then I make money off the house. And then whoever twerks the best, they get paid, a dollar amount for twerking the best. And so this is and then they video it, and then they put it on Instagram and social media, and then before you know it, Rico saying, I saw you on the video, but your weave wasn't done. So let me give you $150 to get your hair fixed because your mama won't go do it. And before you know it, he has gotten her, groomed her, taken care of her, given her that extra money, which the kids say, giving her that extra cheese, so, because she's not getting it at home. And so we have to wake up, watch, listening, and we also got to be praying because
our
children are starting to do some of this stuff to themselves, and it's not just the pimp. So I wanted to just throw that in.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is a side that needs to be brought out as well. And, again, you know, how do you cook a frog? you know, you raise the temperature a little bit at a time until it has no energy to get out because it's spent all its energy trying to regulate his body temperature. Same thing with us. We are allowing so much to go into our children's eye gate, ear gate, you know, this whole internet craze. It's like they can get anything at their fingertips. And so we have to help them to stay innocent. The other thing is, you know, this RICO person is also, they can see when a person is actually needing some love because there are a lot of them being lured into the business with, hey, I'll be your man. I'll take care of you. I'm going to love you.
Sure.
You know, your mama don't love you. Your daddy don't love you. Let me love you right. Okay, love me, and I want you to show me you love me by sleeping with JoJo over here or sleeping with, you know, Barney over there. You know, is your love real for me? Show me. And so a lot of the girls are being lured in that way as well. Real quick, if you could, in about 45 seconds, could you tell me what are some potential indicators of trafficking and exploitation?
Some indicators. It's easy. If you find your child, if you're a mother listening, if you're a father listening, you could be a grandmother, you could be an auntie, you could be anyone that loves, has some a young boy or a girl that's near you. And although we may not understand some of the things that are out there in our community, and although we may not agree whether it's religious for religious purposes or not, these are our children, and they need our support. So to answer your question, some of the indicators are if your child is seem like they're dipped or they're isolating themselves. If you see girls that are dressing and she looks like she is about 18 and she's dressing very mature, and but you know that she's about 12, but she looks like she's 18 or older, that's an indicator. Those are red flags. And if you see, and this is a broad statement, so I also speak to healthcare professionals and doctors and psychiatrists and all of the social workers, and I say, if you got a young girl that's constantly coming to your doctor's office with an STD or constantly coming to the clinic for a morning after pill, bam, that's a red flag. Open your eyes and look. That's something
right.
important to see. And if you have a young girl that or a boy that seems like they are gravitating to a particular group of people, you know, there's a lot of gangs out here that are sex trafficking, and they are exploiting some girls and boys in those organizations. So if you start listening, they give you signs. You may not
yes.
understand the signs, then ask the questions. They use antonyms, they use, you know, words, and they use terms. If you see them where they hadn't physically gotten a tattoo, but they're writing a name on their neck or their body, and the name may be saying Mama Daddy or Big Daddy or whatever, and she's writing her boyfriend name or her girlfriend name on her, then those are signs. Those are some things to think about. So there's so many, and it depends on your profession, your area that you're working in, and some things that you definitely need to be looking at. So I teach and educate specifically to certain groups of people about what to look for. Even some of the leaders, pastors, these predators go to your churches too, and they.
That's right.
There are many things that you need to watch for, especially in church. So that's a whole nother. I know we only have but a little time, but it's a very broad. And so, yes.
And I think what you're saying, what I'm hearing you saying is that if you see a drastic change, you know, in your child's behavior or the way they are dressed, their mannerisms, make sure you're, you know, taking a look at that and inquiring. Don't be so busy that your children have to raise themselves, but to take a minute and inquire as to what might be going on. Also, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta has free webinars that you can learn about the sex trafficking, the victims. It tells you how to look at some of the indicators. It speaks to even the nurses, everyone in the healthcare profession as well. There's about 10, I believe, different webinars that you could get into. Please go to that website and listen to some of those things. You could possibly save a life just because you are in tune with what is going on in your area and in your society. The other question that I have, and I know we only have about 10 minutes, but I want to make sure that we do this part. Who and how can we help? And after that, I want you to tell people how they could get in touch with you so that they can, you know, glean more from your wealth of knowledge. So who and how can help? And
okay,
a little bit about yourself.
So Everyone can help. Everyone can help. If we look at not just the children, but, of course, this is what we're talking about. I'm an ambassador to DMST, which is Domestic Minors for Sex Trafficking. So when you see that those letters, the acronym, that's what that means. So anyone can help. Anyone can use their voice. You may can't, you know, rescue a child from, you know, out of, you know, a home or anything like that. But all you have to do is report it. There is the National Human Traffic Resource Center. You can definitely call that number, which is 888-373-7888. And if you see anything, you know, like I said, stop, listen, and be aware of what's going on around you. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which I am a spokesperson, I'm a trainer for them on a federal level, and what we do is we do a training called SOAR, and SOAR stands for Stop, Observe, Act, and Respond. And so the respond is a part of the resources. So these are some things that we all can get involved and do, whether it's your church, whether if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher. And so these are, you know, many professions that you will be the first responders. And a lot of times we don't think that our churches or our doctor's office, you guys are first responders. You are the
That's
ones
right.
that the victims literally show up to you first before they show up anywhere else. And so just pay attention, and, you know, I'm definitely here. I'm available. I have been at this work because this is my life. This is my journey. I have, you know, dedicated myself to begin to empower not just the people around me, but I am here to empower our people, our young people, and to build them and to give them back what belongs to them, and that is their voice.
Amen. Amen. How can people get in touch with you, Sharon?
Well, you can reach me on social media. You can go to my Facebook page, which is SharonJBrown.com. That's Sharon with two R's. Or you can go to my regular page, which is Sharon Brown. My website also is Sharon J. Brown, that's Sharon with two R's, jbrown.com. And feel free to send me an email. The email address is the same thing, is SharonJBrown2015@gmail.com. I would love to come speak to your young people, your churches, your organization about the warning signs and some things to look at. And also, I would love for you guys to support me. I am receiving one of the most highest award that you can receive, which is a humanitarian award. And so I'm very, very excited Ooh. About that. And on April 9th, yes, I'm really, really excited. And so God has been so good to me. And
yes.
This is a major, major accomplishment for me to even. I never thought I would be here and that I would get to this place. And so the devil tried to kill me, but I'm still standing. So I'm so glad that I am able to be a part. And so I have a dream tour that's going to be going across the country. It's called Dare to Believe Again, Now Dream. Many of us have forgot about that dreams do come true, and I'm a living witness of that.
and I will be doing a huge, huge, huge football challenge for sex trafficking and exploitation. I'm not going to give out too much information about it right now, but I want people to know that there are real men that do love and care about our youth and our children, and so we're going to get some NFL players. They're going to challenge each other and stand up, and they're using their voice, but they also going to put it on the football field, and we're going to show the world that men do care about our young people. And so I will be posting some things out on social media, so please, please, please join me. And the last thing, if I can just say, I have a new book that's coming out that's called I Found My Voice. So
wow.
Go on my website to pre-order. It will be in Barnes & Noble. It will be in all of the stores by the end of the month. So we should have that.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about this journey.
How do you find time? That is absolutely wonderful. And let me know however I could help. I will use this platform to make sure that we get that stuff out there, get your book out there. You know, you pull on me, and because you know I'm going to be pulling on you. I'm going to be calling you for some stuff. So let's definitely stay connected. 30 seconds, can you tell me an encouraging word that you would like to send out to anybody who is caught up in any type of violation right now, sex trafficking, abuse, or otherwise? An encouraging word from you, Sharon.
Sure. Listen, if you out there and you're listening and you've lost your voice and you've lost hope and you feel like that there is nothing else in you to move forward, I just want to declare and decree over your life that God says that you must live today and you must not die and that it is not over for you. And even though they have counted you out and they thought that you would not make it, that you will see the day that God will resurrect the things that need to be brought forth in your life. And so I just speak benefit and wholeness in your life. And so I just want to say, stay encouraged. You know, it may get rough. You may want to quit, but just know that we are living out his purpose and his plan for our life. And so he will give you the strength and bring the people around you to hold you up and to get you on the other side. So I love you guys so much. And I pray that God continue to build all of us from the inside out.
Amen. That was a wonderful word. I want to give you this. For your humanitarian award, everything that you're out there doing, being, you know, you're in the trenches and helping. And I thank you so much for being on the show. You didn't have to. I know you're so busy, so I count it an honor for you to be on my show. Thank you again, Sharon.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know I have to leave you with a quick wisdom to reign. Martin Luther King said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The N in I Reign stands for nurturing ourselves and others. Helping others afford us the opportunity to a greater depth of own personal healing. So I'm going to ask you, what are you doing for others? Please remember, we have a prayer line that opens up in exactly 30 minutes for those who want to pray with us, those who, you know, who's there's some healing, some more healing that needs to happen, or you just need to pray. Please give us a call, 530-881-1212, access code 225-184-078. If you missed it, just look on the screen. You should see a flyer for that. To make a donation or get in touch with me or my team, please go to wealthmngt.org or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at IRAIN, Stop Abuse and Fight Back. So, everyone, repeat after me. I reclaim my life. I excel at living. I illuminate the dark. I grow in Christ, I nurture myself and others. Let's reign together with Christ. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to see you again here next week. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
Put on thy whole armor. Shine thy heat for the gospel of peace. Take thy shield of faith to quench the dark. Thy helmet, the sword, the word of our Lord. Truth girded about thy way. Put on the breastplate of righteousness.